Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the John C. Scott Show. Our political forum heard 4 to 6 at KVY. The voice with us now is Larry Bodine of the Blog for Arizona. Washington Post calls it the most important blog in Arizona, one of the best blogs in Arizona. Here's Larry. Welcome to the show, Larry Bodine. Thanks very much for being on our show.
Well, John, it's always a pleasure to be on your show. Thanks for having me.
All right, let's talk a little bit about this race for the United States Senate. You got Kyrsten Sinema leaving her congressional seat to run for the Democratic nomination. And obviously you have three Republicans, Martha McSally leaving her congressional seat in Congressional District 2, running against Arpaio, the former sheriff of Maricopa County, and, of course, Kelly Ward, the former state senator. How does this race shape up? Give me a real look at this. And do Democrats have a chance of winning a United States Senate race in 2018?
Oh, yes. Kyrsten Sinema has always been a very popular congressman, and she's won the elections that she's had very easily beating the Republicans. You know, the only knock on Kyrsten Sinema is that, you know, the Bernie Sanders wing of the party says that she's not progressive enough. But, you know, that's because I think she's going to be the senator from Arizona, not the senator from New York State. And if you look at the TV at all, I mean, you'll see Sinema is already running ads as if she's in the general election right now.
Let me ask you about the congressional seat she vacates. Got Stanton, the former mayor of Phoenix, a pretty attractive candidate, good-looking guy, articulate. People in Phoenix like him pretty much. He's got a good chance of having the Democrats hold that congressional seat, doesn't he?
You know, I don't have that much detail on the congressional race there, but you know, I can. I'm pretty well steeped in what's going on with Kyrsten Sinema. The key thing is, Sinema is running on three issues that I think are going to be winners. It's access to health care, better education, and jobs that pay well. And she's hitting the health care point extremely hard. You know, all of her TV ads and all of her videos focus on how health care needs to be more affordable. Whereas on the Republican side, they're running on fear of immigrants, Second Amendment, you know, even repealing Obamacare. So, you know, I think Sinema's going to have no trouble winning the primary, and I think she's going to give the Republicans a real good run for their money.
Does Martha McSally have an edge with two very conservative candidates she's running against? Arpaio certainly far to the right, Kelly Ward farther to the right. How does that help Martha McSally pick up that Republican nomination for the U.S. Senate, Larry?
Well, it's very interesting. There was an Ohio predictive poll that just came out 3 days ago, and it shows McSally in the lead with 40% of the Republican vote, Ward second with 24%, and Arpaio dragging the bottom as usual at 14%. There's been a big shift in favor of McSally because she's been running these hard right anti-immigrant ads, you know, TV ads that say, oh, you know, we need to build the wall, we need to secure the border, and apparently that plays really well with the Republican primary crowd, but I think it's going to doom her in the general election.
Why is she doing that? I mean, she didn't do that as a congressional candidate until she got there. And then, of course, as she ran again, she moved to the right. Then she moved further to the right. Now she's running for the U.S. Senate, and she's much further to the right. She never showed that in any of her campaigns till now. What the hell's happened to her, for God's sake?
Well,
I mean, come on.
You know,
really, come on.
I hear you, John. I mean, that's why she's known as Martha McShifty. You know, McSally favored this immigration law that would have given citizenship to the DACA dreamers. And then she took her name out of it last May, and she got behind this extremely hard right-wing bill that Senator Goodlatte introduced. It was an anti-immigration bill, and, you know, of course that failed. So, you know, McSally is just wrapping herself around this anti-immigrant issue, and it's going to pull her down. I'll tell you the other thing that you just noticed was, you know, when Trump was running for office in 2016, you certainly didn't hear any support from McSally for Trump. But lately, she's just been, you know, she goes on TV and talks about, oh, I get invited to the White House all the time. I'm good buddies with President Trump. You know, we see totally eye to eye. And, you know, she is totally banking on, you know, that the fact that the Republican Party has become the party of Trump. So, you know, but first she didn't like Trump, now she likes him. First she was for the DACA Dreamers, now she's against it. You know, that's why they call her Martha McShifty.
You expect her to win this primary, right? I mean, that poll indicates 40% to match against 20 to 14 or whatever. So it would be a McSally-Kyrsten Sinema battle here. And it should be a battle of titans in the state of Arizona for that U.S. Senate seat. But you think Sinema's got a shot at it. Amazing.
Yeah, I do. Well, when you look at it, you know, there's Joe Arpaio, who is just a disgrace, a convicted criminal. He showed up at... on June 7th at a Green Valley GOP candidates forum, and the only question he got from the audience is, why don't you drop out? You're, you know, for the sake of conservatism. You know, he's considered a disgrace. Kelly Ward, you know, is just thumping, you know, the drums of war, you know, the anti-immigration, we need more guns in schools, you know, she's kissing up to the, you know, what used to be the Tea Party vote. And, you know, McSally, I think, you know, you know, it sort of depends on what the current issue is. You know, you can, and, you know, she'll be on it. So here's a very telling thing. I went on YouTube and compared the videos and the number of views that McSally got and what Sinema got. So McSally has a bunch of videos and TV ads, and I think her very best one is a TV ad from 4 months ago, and she got about 880 views on that. Now, when you go to the Sinema page, her announcement for running got 25,000 views.
Whoa.
Her video on affordable health care got 6,000 views. And even, you know, the charming little video she did about her brother Paul a few months back, that got 9,000 views. So, you know, it's not, YouTube isn't a solid predictor of an outcome. You know, your results may vary, but I can tell what people are looking at.
Let's talk a little bit about Congressional District 2. You've got these seven Democrats running. Did the challenge of Hines and others to the petitions of Ann Kirkpatrick, was that damaging to either one of them? Did that cause some consternation among some Democrats? And where is that race with those seven? What do you think? And by the way, you found a candidate you want me to interview. Tell me about this guy.
I'll get to him in a minute, but I think this challenge that Matt Hines funded, you know, to not try to knock off Ann Kirkpatrick is backfiring on him. I mean, I really feel kind of sad for him in that, well, number one, he handed an issue to the Republican who's going to run for Congress, you know, claiming that Kirkpatrick doesn't live in Tucson when she clearly does, and it kind of makes Hines look like he's just got a lot of money to spend, and it's all internal, spending it on internal Democratic fighting. You know, yeah, there's a lot of Democrats that just hang their head, but, you know, that's what the Democrats do. So, you know, with that said, Kirkpatrick, you know, is sort of the odds-on favorite in terms of fundraising, exposure, experience, and so forth. But I got to tell you, there's this one guy who has a lot of charisma, he's got a lot of charm, he's a smart guy, he's an attorney, and it's this guy running for Congress called Yahya Yuksel. He's kind of a dark horse candidate, you know, he only announced in March, but, you know, he's got a lot of energy, a lot of enthusiasm. I would call him a moderate Democrat, in that, you know, most of the Democrats have Bernie Sanders kind of views on what we should do with health care, you know, Medicare for all, but he says, well, let's take the current system and fix it. You know, Obamacare was a good start. Let's repair the damage and, you know, give people affordable health care that way.
You wrote you wrote an article about him. Tell me a little more about this guy. I mean, you just can't make this name up. You just can't. I mean, you just can't. I mean, if people are saying, you're making that name up, and no, we're not. Yuksel.
Yeah, that's right. Well, he is Turkish, Persian and Iranian. Wow. So, you know, that's where the name comes from. But, you know, the guy was born here in Tucson. He's USA all the way. He was active on the Gabby Giffords campaign. He was active in a vice mayor's campaign. And, you know, he's one of these guys who's been really active in the Democratic Party. Now, of course, he has not been elected to anything, which is, you know, why I call him a dark horse, you know, because, you know, in my book, if you've been elected, that really counts for a lot. And so the other candidate who's been elected to office between, in addition to Hines and Kirkpatrick, is Bruce Wheeler. At the last Democratic Congressional Forum, he was the crowd favorite. Everybody kind of liked Bruce because, you know, he's got his feet on the ground. He's steady. He's, you know, reliably progressive. And, gosh, it's just an embarrassment of good candidates. It's a really tough one to call.
We just interviewed Bruce Wheeler, and we were talking about his children, and there's something that a great many people don't know. He's got three children, and they have graduated, each one from Stanford, Harvard, and MIT. Now, if you have three kids, and they graduate from those three institutions of higher education, there's pretty smart kids in that family. So, I mean, that's pretty amazing. Pretty amazing.
Yeah. Oh. You know, I've met Bruce in person many times. He's clearly very bright. You know, he speaks excellent Spanish. He's hitting all the right notes in terms of running in favor of health care, improving education, you know, creating jobs that pay well. In addition to, he's the one candidate who talks about climate change, and he says it's an existential issue, and I think it's right. You know, I mean, walk outside right now. It's 108 degrees. Tucson is on the burning edge of climate change.
Talk to me about this Democratic primary race for governor between Steve Farley, of course, and David Garcia, and of course, Kelly Fryer. We interviewed Kelly Fryer earlier in this show, and we've interviewed both of the other candidates. How do you see that race shaping up as we move into the summer and get closer to early balloting a month from now? Larry Bodine.
Well, John, it's going to be a really close race, but the main point is that Ducey is beatable. You know, he offered teachers a 0.4% raise, and then it was 0.1, you know, and he made the horrible mistake of opposing the Red for Ed movement. And what he basically did is energized all of the teachers, and everybody works in schools. I mean, they are all now voting, and they're going to vote for Democratic candidates, you know. So when you look at the two Democratic candidates, I think they have an excellent chance. Steve Farley has been running for over a year. You know, he's clearly competent. He's been elected to office six times. He's been in the legislature for 12 years, so you know he can do the job. And so I think sort of that dichotomy is like my mind says, you know, Farley is the right choice. But then my heart says, you know, Garcia is the right touch, because Garcia has a really nice touch with people. He posts a lot of videos where, you know, you can, he's very, approachable. He's very good at connecting with people. And, you know, Garcia sort of exudes this I feel your pain kind of, feeling. So if you were to compare it to the 1992, presidential race, think of Garcia as Bill Clinton. And think of Steve Farley as Al Gore.
Okay. That's not bad. That's not bad. I'll take that. Okay. Very quickly, how organized is the Democratic Party statewide, not only to elect a governor that's a Democrat, but to win any statewide office, attorney general, secretary of state, treasurer, I mean, any of these statewide races, superintendent of public instruction? Is the Democratic Party different in 2018 as we move into these critical elections, not only for Congress, but for United States Senate, but these statewide races, which have gone Republican completely? There's no Democrat in a statewide office at the moment. What do you think about 2018 and the statewide Democratic Party? Got about 2 minutes, and that's it. Go ahead.
Well, from what I see going to, you know, meetings of the party and other public meetings, there is huge energy on the Democratic side. You know, as Steve Farley says, every time Trump tweets, you know, he creates another Democratic activist. And I think that's really true. I mean, from what I see, all the Democratic meetings are well organized. They have a program and they have a plan. You know, we need people to go out and canvass, make phone calls, write letters, come to postcard parties. It's like it's more activity, frankly, than I saw in the general election. Coupled with the fact that the National Party has decided just a couple of days ago to devote $2.5 million to try to get Black, Latino, Asian, and Millennial voters out to vote. And, Trump has created a lot of racial resentment, and thanks to Trump, this may be the election where we see Hispanics turn out in big numbers.
Been waiting for that for a while, I'll tell you that. people have been telling me about, the Hispanic vote's going to make a difference, and they've been telling me that for 10 years. So here we are in 2018. Larry, great talking with you. We want people to go to Blog for Arizona. It's a great website. You can find out what's going on the progressive side of the coin, as well as all the things happening in politics. You do a marvelous job with that blog. Absolutely amazing. Thanks for being on our show today. I really appreciate it.
Oh, well, right back at you, John. You do an awesome job on your show, and it's a pleasure to be with you.
Thank you. Larry Bodine of Blog for Arizona. Check it out.